Good morning. It's 10:14 a.m., January the 30th, 2016. I'm still trying to train myself to say that. Saturday morning. I'm out. Good morning, Chris. He pestered me until I had to get away from the keyboard. No, not really, but... he said to say hi to him, so, hi. I probably would have still been at the keyboard if I hadn't been pinged. I'm elbows deep in this story, the exile, the story that's going into the anthology, the origin story for Natalia Ruggieri. I've had it done for 10 days, and it's been out with beta readers, some of whom have been somewhat slow getting back to me, some of whom were really quite quick. And then I sent it out again to some others, and so I'm really uneasy about the story. I don't write short. I don't like short. There's a reason I don't write short, because I don't like short. But I think it works. I think the story... the last round of changes, Dan Sawyer sent me some really good feedback. He doesn't like the opening, and he gave me a suggestion on the opening, which I didn't follow. He wants me to start the story sooner, but I don't want to start the story sooner. I don't. It's not where this story needs to start. It's starting where it needs to start. But his comment was that the opening was choppy. It was hard to figure out where you were and what you were doing, what was going on. And he's right. He's right with that. So I reordered some sentences in the opening paragraph to provide a more cohesive opening. The challenge is that it needs to not be coherent. It's sort of like the opening to Ashes, where the writing in the first five chapters it feels really choppy because Ishmael is telling the story and emotionally he's really chopped up. He's really having a hard time and he's doing the best he can, but everything is sort of broken into little pieces, and it's not until later that it begins to come together. So a lot of people say, wow, the writing of the first few chapters is really choppy. Yes, thank you. Yes, it is. It's not like I couldn't have made it smooth. It's just that Ishmael wouldn't have been smooth. So, yeah. So the opening of this story has to be choppy because it starts with an exceptionally traumatic incident. And I will go back and look at it again. I may look at the opening and see if perhaps he's right. Maybe I need to add an opening paragraph in advance of the whiz-bang opening. I realize that it's kind of cliche with just opening the story with the corpse on the floor, but the story opens with the corpse on the floor. And the corpse really isn't important to the story. Well, the corpse is important to the story, but the corpse isn't important to the story. The story isn't about the corpse. The story is about what happens to Natalia and Zoya when the corpse is discovered. And so, from that perspective, the corpse is the MacGuffin. It's not really important. It's just, it's just what the story is. And everything moves from there. So it's not really where the story starts. So, yeah, even though it's a rocky opening, I'm going to leave it a little bit rocky. I smoothed it out some. I've reordered the sentences so they do flow a little better. guy's going to have... I would have suggested the guy might have hearing trouble in his later years, but his beard is whiter than mine, so it may be too late. At any rate, so yeah, I've been hips deep in this story. LJ Cohen has given me some feedback. I've read her story. It's going in the same anthology. We're both really stoked. Her story is really nice. It's really cool. I liked it a lot. It's, there's a lot of flashback in it, which I think she does really well. I think purists will object to it. And you know what? Purists are going to object to just about everything. So, screw them. Like rugby, screw them. Anyway, yes, I know how that's supposed to be pronounced. I hear geese. Geese are good. As long as they're not overhead and I don't have my mouth open, geese are good. Oh, there they are. Look at them. Oh, you can't see them. We got 30 geese, maybe 40 geese in a V. There's more joining in, which is what the honking is about. As they communicate with each other about who's going to lead and where they're going to go and who's going to join in. My father used to tell a joke about geese. And then whenever you see geese flying in a V, the one leg of the V is always longer than the other leg, because they're never, I almost never equal. And the question is, do you know why geese flying in a V, the legs of the V aren't equal? And after several fruitless guesses, the answer turns out to be more geese. So, why is one leg longer than the other? More geese. It's one of those dad jokes, I guess. I guess it falls into the category of dad jokes. It's like, why did Adele cross the road to say hello from the other side? I don't know. It's that's not mine. It's a 10-year-old's. I got it off a YouTube video. So, yeah, I haven't walked all week. I've been sort of enmeshed. I've been sort of engaged. And a lot of days, I haven't walked in the last couple of months, in November, December, because I've sort of been disassociated. By that I mean I've been completely withdrawn. I've been in a hole with the top pulled in over me. And huddling there for warmth or comfort or something. It's what Minecraft does for me. It gives me a hole that I can cuddle in. Oh, something stinks. What the hell is that? Some really perfumey Febreze thing. I don't know if it's somebody's dryer sheet or the guy that went by me needed to get the dead possum out of the glove box. I don't know. Anyway. But this week has not been one of those weeks, although from the outside it's hard to tell. From the outside looking in, it's difficult to see it. But no, that's not how it's been. I have been engaged. I have been plugged in. I have been turned on. I've been working with Sifwa. I'm trying to get Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers to do something, but they just want to. You know, they're going to have another independent authors list takes over event on Facebook, and it's like, oh. They're wicked excited about them. They're very pleased with them because they're like there's people here talking to us And my observation was, and not out loud to them, but probably should be, it's echo chamber. And it's impossible. The logistics for having a live chat in Facebook threads, with Facebook being as flaky as it is, not showing all the threads, not showing all of the comments every time you refresh, but selectively picking them, particularly if they're new, you have to refresh the whole community. You can't refresh one thread. Authors are jumping all over the place in different threads. So you're following on one thread, trying to keep track of what's going on the thread, and only to discover that the reason everybody got quiet was because they all went to a different thread. It's dumb. Yeah, I understand how it works. It's still dumb. Monk post. And I've got a woman in the self-publishing community who's trying to convince us all that what we should be doing is selling to book clubs. And I'm looking at her like, What? Yeah, book clubs. People read your books and talk about them. Well, yeah, but they read your books and talk about them with each other. You know, I'm not seeing social media overwhelmed. And it may be just because I don't follow a lot of people who are in book clubs. I don't know. Well, I'm not seeing people saying, oh, wow, we just read this book in my book club and it was wonderful. You should go read it. I actually don't know. Well, I know one person. I know one person who's in a book club. I tried to join a book club. But the books they pick are all... Really? You want to read that? And it's a science fiction book club. And they only want to read books I read 20 years ago. Really? You want to read and discuss that? Now. And they only want to read mainstream. Oh, yes, Tread Pub. Only mainstream publication. We can't read that. Other... self-published trash. Which makes me go, oh, okay, fine. I was interesting at Cosign. It was the first time I've heard an agent, and there were some agents there who were on panels. The first time I heard an agent say, you know, your book might be great, it might be wonderful, it might be well written, but we've already got three of those we've published in the last 6 months. We can't take another one. So you get a rejection letter. It's something that all of us who've played the query go-round know. Good morning. It's something that we all know, something we all realize. Once you've been in the business for a while, you begin to understand how agents and acquisitions editors work. And it isn't what most people think, and it certainly isn't what groups like Authors United want you to believe. Publishers are a business, and they have to buy what they think can sell. And their selection criteria for what can sell is very narrow. It's exceptionally narrow, because they can't really afford to take a risk, so they have to publish more stuff, like just like the stuff that they've already published, but different, with a different name, a different setting. But pretty much the same story. They have to. I understand that. It's why my stories really faced an uphill battle when I first started querying them. And even now with the demonstrated audience, the bigs, they can't. They're offering me a pittance. Or they have offered me a pittance. Nobody's offering me right at the moment, so that's good. I'd have to turn them down. Unless it was really big money, I'd have to turn them down. And so far nobody's offered me really big money. And by really big money, we're talking seven numbers, not six. It's just not worth it. I can't afford to relinquish that amount of income without something to fill in the hole. So yeah, it's a bit iffy. But it was interesting to hear them say that's how publishers work. But back to book clubs. Book clubs, I don't know. It could be that I'm really overlooking a viable market. It could be that because I lump book clubs, bookstores, and libraries pretty much together as being amusing but too small to worry about, that I might be overlooking something. I'm going to go to a library. I think I'm going to go to a library conference. They've invited me to participate in a panel for the Public Library Association 2016 conference in April down in Denver, and to talk about self-published authors. It's a panel on how librarians should deal with or could deal with independent authors other than just ignoring them. And frankly, I'm happy being ignored. The actual effect on the market for me is negligible. Even if my books were in every library in the country, why? There's not that many libraries. I mean, yeah, there's a few thousand libraries. Okay, one shot sale. Everybody buys a paperback. It's not my market. It's not my market. So, you know, it's like, I may be overlooking it. I may be overlooking something that's significant. I may be underestimating the importance of book clubs and libraries. Good morning. But from a marketing perspective, they're A, tough to get into, B, expensive to get into, C, too small to worry about. The probability of recovering the expense necessary to get into them is so low that it's not a risk I'm willing to take. But I'm also working from a position of privilege. I'm working from a position of, you know, I sold well over 10,000 books in the last 3 months. Oh yeah, I guess maybe closer to 20,000 books in the last 3 months. Sold, not just, you know, leased, not just Kindle unlimited page reads, but actual books sold. So, I recognize that I'm in a position where, you know, those people who are still scrabbling for those first 100 sales, for those first, that first month where they sell 300 books, I appreciate that that's not my perspective, and that those people have to look at ways that they can try to build that audience, that they can try to create enough interest in their work that 300 books a month is not simply doable, but repeatable regularly. In my slow months, I sell 2,000 books a month. The month before I released Ashes, it was I think it was like 2,200 books that month. So that would have been September. There might have been like 1,800 books that month. I honestly really don't know, because I honestly really don't keep track. And while there are a lot of people who hear me say that and think, oh my God, what kind of business are you running? My first response is, mine. I'm running my business. And the month-to-month sales don't matter. The day-to-day sales don't matter quite as much as... Have I sent in enough money to cover the income tax? And so I'm paying more attention to bank statements than I am sales figures. And even that is like, you know, quarterly I'll sit down and figure out how much do I have to send the government this month. This quarter. So anyway, yeah, it's like book clubs really... which takes me back to Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers and why I'm trying to get the independent publisher independently published authors list to pay attention to what's happening on a broader scale, to get out of the, oh well, local markets are wonderful and Denver has a good bookstore. Local markets are local. And that's a problem when you're in a niche genre, like science fiction. But I walked. I am back. Tomorrow is another day. And while they're calling for snow tonight, with any luck at all, I'll talk to you tomorrow.